Ladies and gentlemen.
Make some noise. Let's go.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. Hello, and welcome to the Ladies and Gentlemen podcast, the only podcast that is giving you the hot takes on Saturday Night Live musical performances. Although, I don't know how hot the takes are going to be this week. I thoroughly enjoyed this performance this week, and the show overall, while not great, the musical portions definitely were. But we were a bit lacking in musical performances, if I do say. But we'll get into that in a bit. But for now, we will address the elephant in the room, shall we? Yes, this episode is late. I must say, it's a bit difficult doing... I usually do the podcasts on Sundays. And sometimes just Sundays don't work out. So if you don't get the show on Monday, then I guarantee you will get it on Tuesday, as we are today. So better late than never. And you know what? I'm glad I did. I got a chance, just like every other time I've been late. It's been a good chance for me to really dig deep and listen to the performance multiple times, which I don't always get to do with the quick turnover rate from the show on Saturday, recording on Sunday, released on Monday. And this was definitely a performance that required your full attention. And yeah, so let's get into the show, shall we? First up, while not a musical performance necessarily, normally I will talk about the musical segments, the pre-tapes, as part of their own little segment, more of a bit of a throwaway, but this time, this is really all we get. We get this, and then the one performance from Taylor, and she is featured, so I'm going to count it.
Again?
No,
but we can't do this anymore. Okay, it's humiliating.
Damn, guys, I'm sorry. I thought this would be a fun thing for all of us. If it's not, then let's just end it.
Thanks, Pete.
Thank you, Pete.
I mean, after we do the bridge.
Wait, what bridge?
Hey, Pete.
Oh, hey, Taylor.
No. Is like a sad Ron Weasley. He looks like a big bird lost all his feathers, and Martin has the charm and the sex appeal of a scarecrow.
True.
John has a big ass bowling ball head. How does he stay upright with that big fat melon? And none of them have the guts to take their shirts off in front of a girl.
Yeah, that's accurate.
True.
I can't tell you how long I've been waiting to talk about Please Don't Destroy on this podcast. I don't know if I've hinted at it before, but they've been on the show the last, 2 to 3 weeks? And they have absolutely killed it with every single pre-tape. And they're really taking up that mantle of weird films that used to air back in the day, back in the 70s. And then kind of mixing that with the humor of Lonely Island, who really elevated the pre-tape to what we know it as today. And what I like about Three Sad Virgins is that it's a great mix of what Please Don't Destroy has been doing over the last few weeks, while mixing it and subverting it with Pete Davidson's style, musical style. You know, it very well would have been something that Pete Davidson would have written and performed with Chris Redd. So it was very nice to have that juxtaposition of just this straight ahead kind of pre-tape song and then cutting, like, you know, the protests in between when they're being talked about. It's not necessarily an original joke. I think we've seen this done before with Ricky Gervais on Extras. This is a well-worn concept, but I think they do bring something new to the table. Their charm definitely carries it over that finish line. And I do like the balancing act of they want to protest, but not really seem uncool to Pete Davidson, who obviously is the coolest person on the planet, right? So, yeah, fantastic skit, fantastic pre-tape. Tell me why Taylor's part was so good, though, right? Like, I wasn't expecting her to bring it, but it was a really, really good bridge. And although, technically, is it a bridge if the song pretty much ends with it? It's not really bridging anything, is it? Who's to say? Who's to make that argument other than me? Nobody's paying attention to these things. Fantastic song all around. I have no notes. More like this, please. Definitely keep pairing Please Don't Destroy with Pete Davidson. And yeah, you know, Taylor, I hope she comes back as host, because this is the kind of stuff that she did last time. And it's awesome. She's so wonderful. I'm gushing, aren't I? Yeah, gross.
Ladies and gentlemen, Taylor Swift.
The air was cold, but something about it felt like home somehow. And I left my scarf there at your sister's house, and you've still got it in your drawer even now. Oh, your sweet disposition, my wide-eyed gaze. We're singing in the car, getting lost up the state.
All Too Well is widely considered Taylor Swift's best song, or at least it was when it came out on the original version of Red. As you know, Taylor Swift is currently promoting her re-recorded Red so that she now has legal authority to use the songs that she had previously written. It's very complicated. We won't go into it right now, but that's what she's here to do. And promote she did. This is the only song we get, which she had made a comment that this song was going to be the length of three songs, and she wasn't kidding. I had actually not heard the original version, but I do know it's about half the length as this. And I can't imagine what they would have cut, because I know the song itself was 10 minutes long, and they cut that down for the record, because back then, you know, Taylor Swift didn't have much of a say in her artistic endeavors. So I'm glad that she included the short version and the longer version to kind of redeem herself, if you will, for the cut down version. And I can't really judge this performance as a musical performance. It is really a multimedia visual presentation, which we'll get into. So it's very cinematic. It opens up on her silhouette. There is a video screen behind her, and it's got two actors. I only know one of them, Sadie Sink from Stranger Things. But it's going over this, basically the entire song, word for word, is being projected up on the screen, which is interesting. And it's a different kind of performance for SNL, isn't it? I know, not to really link Taylor Swift and Kanye too much, but the last person I remember doing this, and correct me if I'm wrong, I know you will, was Kanye. I remember during the, was it New Slaves, I think? where he had the entire stage covered in, it was a video screen. And just, so you were seeing these visuals go as he's performing, but not quite to this extent. This is very calculated, and it's almost like she's soundtracking a movie, which I think wasn't her intention. The entire stage is covered in like rose petals or some kind of petals, some kind of leaves that rain from the ceiling and really add a cool effect. I will say it's a bit jarring to have Taylor Swift reverting back to the 21-year-old Taylor Swift, the Taylor Swift that made Red. Again, I understand her reasoning, but stepping backwards, it is kind of a shame because I really enjoyed the two albums that she's performed, that she's written within the last few years. Going, I think, all the way back to Lover. It was an album, it was the first time I really saw everything start to click with Taylor Swift, where she's not just singing about the haters, where the talent that she has as a songwriter and writing hooks meets the artistic quality that is within her. And there wasn't this need to be on the radio, which has long since passed. You don't need the radio. And if anyone doesn't need the radio, it's specifically Taylor Swift. She's got her audience, and she gained plenty of new audience, myself included. I've always liked Taylor Swift, but she wasn't something I paid attention to very much until the Lover album. So it's a bit disappointing to see her kind of revert back to singing these songs about a 10-year-old relationship. But I'm glad that she decided to do something different with it, so it didn't just seem like she was treading old ground, treading old relationships. At this point in her life, this is really just a story that she's told, as opposed to a relationship she's singing about. And it's a good story. And I think that it's a very relatable story to her audience. And obviously this song is about one of her more famous relationships with Jake Gyllenhaal. And, you know, I gotta say, I don't know if this was in the original version. I probably should have listened to that, but I listened to this version like 4 times, so I think that's plenty of research. But I don't know if this was in the original version, but she sings, and it's like that joke, "I'll get older, but your lovers will stay my age." And I was like, oh yeah, it's Jake Gyllenhaal, all right. Because up until then, I didn't know the specifics of her relationship, so nothing really clicked like, oh, that's a reference, oh, that's the reference. So I'm sure other people will get the references, I just didn't. And I'm trying to be polite about this performance. Not to say it was a bad performance, because as I said, it's meant to be taken in as an entire piece, from the visual of the background of the video to the stage setting to her, the way the light's hitting her, the different movements in the song. It's meant to be taken as one big piece. But it's hard to ignore the deficiencies in Taylor Swift's voice. Hear me out. I like Taylor Swift's voice. I think specifically on Exile and the two recent albums that she's had, which names escape me at the moment, that were more like indie folk, her voice really works with that style. She's always been a performer that's been required to perform out of her range, which a lot of pop stars have to. And in this performance, she's having to show all of these emotions. And while not hitting necessarily any sour notes, she's not sustaining notes too well, and it's a bit pitchy. At first, I was going to count that off, but After a few listens, I think it actually kind of works with the performance as you're hearing her get emotional. And as the emotion builds in the song, her voice starts to crack a little bit and it's almost vulnerable in a way. So I think it unintentionally works. I don't think it's necessarily something she intended for the performance. As you know, she's been well known to be a bit pitchy live, but in this case, I do think it works. It works to tell the story, and you're just taking everything in, so it's not something you're really noticing, especially upon like third and fourth listen. So I can't really take off too much for it, but it is something I felt I had to address. The fact that the song is a bit too ambitious for her vocal level, but it works. For some reason, I've always connected Lorde and Taylor Swift. I don't know if I'm the only one that has ever done that, but they came out around the same time, and Taylor Swift was always this really bubbly country pop, while you had Lorde on the other end of the spectrum, who was kind of moody and dark. Over the years, they've kind of crossed paths. By that, I mean, like, it seems like they've reversed their trajectories to where Lorde is making more of what Taylor Swift used to make, and Taylor Swift is making what I thought Lorde would have been making. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I really enjoy what Lorde has been putting out. Not necessarily this last record, but definitely the record before that. And I have definitely been enjoying what Taylor Swift has been coming out with. And I'm glad that she got to get this album re-recorded. It was something clearly very important to her. And I'm glad she got to do it. I hope that she doesn't start retreading that ground any more than she has to, because I do think she has moved on from it. And this performance is kind of a nice final act for that album. And I hope she's happy with it. Overall, I would give this performance, as a whole, I am judging it, the whole presentation, I would give it an 8 out of 10. As a musical performance in the traditional sense, it's not too impressive. The pitchiness in her voice definitely takes off some points there. But if I'm grading it as an entire presentation, I think this was a really important moment for Taylor Swift, and it's something she put a lot into, and I appreciate that. I appreciate an artist who isn't afraid to try new things, to take this stage, which the SNL stage, for better or worse, it has a formula, and to break that formula, I think is, I don't want to say brave. Brave doesn't feel like the wrong word because there's really no stakes, but it's refreshing. And I hope more artists decide to take her lead and make their performance more of a multi-faceted presentation. I just think it adds to the song. It shows us who the artist is a lot more than just a straight-ahead performance. And hopefully we see other people do it. But that is going to be all the time that we have on the show this evening. I'm glad I waited. I think it was worth the wait, and I hope you agree. So yeah, let's do this again next week, hopefully on time. We'll have the musical guest, Saweetie. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I'm not too familiar with Saweetie's work. I know she's a young, up-and-coming rapper, and I'm hoping she has something to surprise me with. I may try and bring on a guest I've been trying to get on for a few weeks now, but the the time just hasn't been right. We haven't been able to sync up our schedules, but hopefully I can have him on and he can help me dissect Saweetie's performance. But that's going to be all for me. Find me on Instagram, LAGSNLpod. You can send me an email at arthatesmusic@gmail.com. Join us next week, and yeah, we'll see you next time.